O love that will not let us go, we rest our weary soul in thee. We give thee back the life we owe, that in thy ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O love, O joy, speak now, for we, your servants, are listening. In Christ's name, amen. We don't always pay attention to the end. Even the ending lyrics of songs or hymns. You might know some of these endings. "'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." What hymn is that from? "Amazing Grace." "Praising my Savior all the day long." What hymn might that be? "Blessed Assurance." "Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Anybody know that one? "Come thou fount of every blessing." Now, what about some Advent hymn endings? Uh-oh. "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." That's an easy one. "O come, Emmanuel." I gave it away. "Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart, come thou long expected Jesus." Now here's one. "He has cast down all the mighty, and the lowly are his choice." Do you know where that's from? "Ye who claim the faith of Jesus." I've never heard of that hymn, but it's in the hymnal in the pew. We don't always pay attention to the end. We may not always know or remember the ending lines of songs, especially of Advent hymns. But the endings are important because that's what we're left with. It's the final word that might be imprinted on our memory. It's the last move of the songwriter, the last testament or testimony, if you will. We ought to pay attention to the end. Mary's song is known as the Magnificat. It's popular for the season of Advent. It's a hymn that tells us that the world as we know it is about to turn, about to convert to the ways of God in Christ. And it's been known and called the Magnificat because of the first line out of her mouth, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That line and the next one, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," are often the ones making breaking news in the Liturgical Musical Academy. But for the first time, the last line, the last word, the ending phrase reverberated in my heart and grabbed my attention. "According to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." According to the promise. I never paid attention to that last line. I heard it, but I never heart it until now. Everything Mary sings about is rooted in this promise. Mary is waiting on a promise to come to pass. Advent is a promise. And guess what? We're waiting. But who wants to wait for it to be fulfilled in this fast-paced, high-tech, at our fingertips, impatient, instantaneous, Google searching, 280-character, Twitter efficient, only today matters world? Who wants to wait when we can seemingly get everything we want right now by sitting at our laptops and pressing one key and getting all of the facts from Wikipedia. Who needs a promise yet to be fulfilled when we have the present? Carpe diem, seize the day, as if that's all we have or need today. Mary reminds us that as Christians, we also have a promise. I realize that waiting on a promise is to come true is not the only issue we have. Another issue is that humans tend to break promises as if promises were made only to be broken. I promise. I'm sure you've heard that or said that before. I promise to wash those dishes up before I go to bed. I promise that I'll take out the trash in the morning. I promise that I'll call you later. I promise I'll never do that again. I promise I'll come next time. I promise that I'll pray for you. I promise to love and cherish till death do us part. The problem with us human creatures is that we make many promises but often fail to keep them. Our actions invalidate our words. It can be so bad that we, to channel Sherry Turkle's book, we expect more from technology than from one another. And perhaps we expect more from technology than from God. But the closing line of Mary's song, according to the promise, reveals that God is different from us. Because we're actually living on an ancient promise. And not, even though we spend tons of hours using it, on social media. Mary nods to God's ancient promissory note to us, weaved all throughout Scripture, reminding us that we can expect more from God than from technology. One could even say that the whole Bible is God's promissory note to us. In our time, a promissory note is a legal lending document. It's a written promise to pay someone. And Mary sings, according to the promise God made. God made a promise, not us. And it's a divine promise over time, across time and culture and people and language and tradition, through peculiar politics and through painful pandemics and through pitiful drops in men's college basketball from number one all the way out of the top 25, Carolina Tar Heels, excuse me. But the promise of God is ancient. It's long. It's eternal. It's older than old and still newer than new. It never gets old because it's still true. God is a promissory God. And Mary's melody is based on a promise. Her life is based on a promise. Our life of faith is based on a promise. We are living on a promise, not a math equation, not a scientific fact, but a word of promise made centuries ago. And God has a track record of making and keeping promises. Promises create a new horizon, or what my former Princeton colleague Sally Brown calls an arc of expectation between the giver and the receiver of the promises. So when Abram, soon to be Abraham, was 99 years old, God said to him, I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. You shall be the ancestor of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. This is the ancient divine promise Mary refers to. It doesn't preclude a life of pain or struggle, because there were many dangers, toils, and snares for the children of Israel. 400 years of slavery in Egypt, but God promised Moses to change Pharaoh's heart and deliver the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. And guess what? God did it. Then 40 more years in the wilderness, but ultimately they reached the promised land, as God promised. And God promised that Sarah, Abraham's wife, even at a ripe old age, would bear a son. And guess what? God did it. And God promised a son to the once barren Hannah, and God does it when Hannah gives birth to Samuel. And God promised to raise up a king after God's own heart. And guess what? God does it through David. The people of God have always lived on a promise, on a word, and as the prophet Isaiah reminds us, God's word will not return void and empty. We hear sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we know that words can hurt, and words can help too. All it takes is one incarnate word to change your life, to save the world, to light it up in glory. One incoming word is why Advent still matters. Words can help in the economy of God. God's word can heal and deliver and set free. God's words of promise move and accomplish things in people's lives all throughout history. God's promise, God's word, gives us a future and shapes it. Even right at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, right before Mary's song, there are promises made, and we know that they are kept. As an angel tells Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will bear a son named John, and eventually that's exactly what happens. And then an angel tells Mary that she will bear the Son of God, and his name will be Jesus, and that is exactly what happens. Promises made and promises kept. That's God, a promise keeper. Mary's music is grounded in God's promises, the mystery and assurance of them all throughout the ages, according to the promise. And even as Mary sings, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly," this very promise is already being fulfilled in her own embodiment right before our eyes. A lowly teenage girl, a social outcast no one expected much from, was chosen and lifted up to give birth to the Messiah. So Mary not only sings of a promise, she lives on it. She's an embodied witness to it. Her future depends on it. Depends on God remembering his mercy and keeping his ancient promises. As one scholar says so well, the most consistently reiterated testimony of the canonical library is that God, the maker and keeper of world-altering promises, is worthy of worshipful trust. Think about the Christian life. We are living on a promise, aren't we? I will give you rest. We are living on a promise, aren't we? I won't leave you comfortless. We are living on a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are living on the promises of God. I will be with you till the end of the age. Behold, I am making all things new. And when God makes a promise, God keeps it. And is self-involved, working to fulfill it. God isn't aloof, sitting in another room playing Fortnite on his PS4. God's promises are enfleshed words. God backs up his promises with action. God does something to ensure the promises are fulfilled. We see this in the grand arc of history, biblical history. To redeem the world, God enters the world as Jesus, and through his life, we see the promise of Mary's song being fulfilled. God is invested in seeing the promise through, putting his whole body and life on the line, even if it entails a cross and an empty grave. Because God keeps God's promises forever, and not even death can prevent the promises from being fulfilled. That's how committed God is to his promise made to our ancestors. And Mary's song itself reveals God's involvement to see the promise through, because God is active in the Magnificat. God shows strength with his arm, scatters the proud, brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry, sent the rich away empty, comes to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise. So God will make sure that this ancient promise is kept. And we are living on that divine promise still today. That's what Advent is all about. Waiting on a promise to be fulfilled. And if we track biblical history all along the way, God has shown that he keeps promises and is trustworthy, which should create a horizon of hope for us, that God will do what God said God will do in the world and in your life. But how will you respond? We can be uncertain or full of doubt or anxious, or we can be like Elizabeth's child in her womb who leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting. An expectant joy causing us to leap and praise God for what is to come. You better pay attention to what's in the end. Our life depends on it. Because like Mary's song, one of the last lines at the very end of the Bible, at the end of time, is a promise made by Jesus. Surely I am coming soon. You can trust Jesus. Just wait and see.